Sexes, men and women, all the time. I don't know if I would consider that funny enough to help sell cars. I don't know if I would show that commercial to show a Toyota RAV, but I know Cindy and I sometimes fight over the last English muffin, so, you know, do that kind of thing. But, you know, just that tension. Just that whatever that is seems to kind of be just under the surface a lot of times. Now, if you're not married, don't plan to get married, don't ever want to get married or hoping to get married, you know, my hope is you don't check out when we're talking about what we're talking about today, because there's ripple effects, applications that fall into your life, especially if you're a Christ follower, if you've said yes to Jesus. So don't do that. So we're in our series, this idea of life hacks. Don't want to confuse a life hack with a shortcut. Shortcuts, you know, aren't forward thinking. They usually end up having a bad consequence, where a life hack, they actually help us out. They help us live better. And today we're continuing on from 2 weeks ago. We changed it up a little bit, still in life hacks, to what way, no way, continued. So we're looking at that. And again, in all of this, we're looking at a better way. And sometimes each one of us just need a better way. And so far, we've looked at, in part one, installation one, God's best. And if you weren't here for that part, you can go online and find it. The message guide's there, all filled in for you, so you can just listen along. Then the second week, we started talking about submission and submitting to one another as Christ followers and what that looks like. And again, the word submission is such a hard, hard buzzword, and no one likes it, and all of that. And we kind of unpacked that to share what that really means, because that is the word that Paul uses. Paul uses submit to one another, obey one another. That is the idea. So if you need to have that unpacked. And then again, 2 weeks ago, we started looking at how that applies to marriage and how that applies to the relationship of a husband and wife. But also, we have to remember that a marriage really is a reflection of someday when the bride of Christ, the church, is married to him. And that's hard to get our minds around, but this is just kind of a picture of that. So all the ideas of unity and closeness and all of that is just an image of what is to come when you're a Christ follower, when you enter into eternity with him. Then last week, we looked Mother's Day at Walk This Way, talked about being an influencer in the kids of our lives, and the kids of our life, obviously mothers and dads, but also all of us are influencers, and how are we doing that? So today, we just continue on with what way, no way. And again, as we look at life and we think about life, not to make you feel bad or anything, but when we're not aligned with God, when we're doing it our way, and usually there's a self-centeredness to that way, it just doesn't go well. You know, we asked ourselves, how is that working for you? It might seem like it starts to work for you, but eventually it comes back and bite you, whether it's at work, in your relationships, and you're just not being the person you ought to be. It eventually circles around in your marriages, in your dating life, in your relationships. And what's amazing for many of us, and we've, you know, hard learners sometimes, and sometimes it feels like we've got to bang our head against the wall. We have to learn the same thing over and over and over again. And how is that working for us? So last time we talked about the way, and again, you can look at that online. There's a better way, a purposeful way, a spirit-filled way, and a Christ-following way. And that was in part 3. You can find that very easily online. And again, the message guide's all there. So as we started out, we started out that week or got into it, and this week we're going to start with the same idea, which for some of us is a little bit hard to stomach. Some of us would have a hard time expressing this in the places that we live, work, and play because it doesn't seem to be true the way we hear it from other sources, media, and this kind of thing. And it's this: in every society that is moved towards a Christ-centered worldview, women and children fare better. Yes. And I could say the flip side: in every society that moves away from a Christ-centered view, women and children fare worse. If you're going to be honest and you look at how Christianity moved in, yes, there are miserable times. There were times where people just did the wrong thing. It became about power and all that. But where there's genuine Christianity, genuine following Christ, the world fares better. Children are taken care of. They're valued. Roman world, they had abortion and all those kinds of things, but when a baby was born and they didn't care for it, the father would say, because he had all the power, I want you to expose it. And what that meant is just leave the baby outside. Let it just die. Horrible. All that started to change. Christ followers would go find these babies and adopt them and raise them. I just don't have time to completely unpack that. So just don't dismiss it. If you're really concerned about that, go find it and call me or text me or email me or whatever, and we can have a discussion about that. If you say no, that's not true, I really would like to talk with you about that, because I think if you give it a fair shake, you're going to find that that statement's true. So this morning's going to be a little bit tough. I don't really like talking about this. But when it comes to this whole idea of what way and no way, and the idea of a wife submitting to her own husband, what does that mean? It sounds so toxic. It sounds so terrible. But just to break the ice a little bit, I came across something on my Facebook page, and I reshared it. And this has been for me when it comes to women, because I am all for you girls. I have 3, and I'm married to one. They're my life. So if you were going to date one of my daughters, and my last one's getting married this summer, so this is like off my list, I can get rid of this shirt. It says to those guys, get a job, understand I don't like you, understand I'm everywhere, you hurt her, I hurt you, be home 30 minutes early, get a lawyer, you lie to me and I will find out, she's my princess, you're not her conquest. I'm having trouble reading it. I don't mind going back to jail. Somebody really, what? What's that about? Whatever you do to her, I will do to you. And I might add worse. So anyway, so I'm 4 girls, okay? I'm 4 women. My mother's a woman. So, I'm 4 you. So when I talk about these things, I get angry. Angry, angry, angry. When I hear that a male in their role, in any role, is taking advantage of a woman. At work, even if it's not like married, dating stuff, that pushes my buttons. Shame on us. I think I said 2 weeks ago, I said, sometimes some of those in evangelical Christianity, conservatism, get really upset about, the whole woman's lib, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, if men had not been such jerks, including the men in the church, especially the men in the church, that movement would have unfolded in a different way, or might never have unfolded. We brought it on. So shame on us. So when I talk about this stuff, I'm not trying to put ladies down. Just, I think it was actually last weekend, some of you may have heard of this guy, Harrison Butker. And it's all the rage. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere about what a bad guy this guy is. He's 28 years old. To me now, that sounds like a kid. That's like 30 years younger than me. My goodness. Anyway, and he has some things to say. He's married. He's Catholic. And, you know, if you're going, why is Dave even talking about a Catholic guy in a evangelical Protestant church? I think he said some good things. Obviously, I'm not Catholic, so some of the things I would not agree with or just follow, but it doesn't make me get angry or those kinds of things. You can actually find his speech online in a bunch of places. You can watch it, or you can actually read it. And this is kind of the way things unfolded for him.
More people now speaking out after Bucker's firebrand speech, encouraging women to become what he says is one of the most important roles, homemaker.
Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world.
The NFL has said Bucker doesn't represent its views, and the Chiefs have not commented. But overnight, Tavia Hunt, the wife of Chiefs chairman and CEO Clark Hunt, writing, affirming motherhood and praising your wife, as well as highlighting the sacrifice and dedication it takes to be a mother, is not bigoted.
When people say what they need to say, he's at a Catholic college. Yeah. He's a staunch Catholic. These are his beliefs, and he's welcome to them. Okay with him saying whatever he says, and the women who are sitting there, if they take his advice, good for them, they'll be happy. If they don't, good for them, they'll be happy a different way. That's my attitude.
I'm on the stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. All of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
A Catholic man encouraging Catholic beliefs to Catholic students is a breath of fresh air.
But his words rubbed some Catholic students the wrong way.
What offended you about his remarks?
It's disheartening. And all of that was boiled down to, I bet you're most excited to go out and start a family.
And now an organization that co-founded Benedictine College, writing, the Sisters of Mount St. Scholastica do not believe the comments represent the Catholic Benedictine liberal arts college that our founders envisioned. In the speech, Bucker also railing against abortion, IVF, surrogacy, and LGBTQ plus rights.
It's interesting, if you listen to it, he is not railing against any of those things. He mentions them, but he doesn't rail against them. It's also interesting that order that helped start the school. If you go back to when the school started, I was trying to figure out if it was like in the early 70s when they merged or it was even earlier. If it's the earlier date, that's like the 1860s, the 1870s. Those people did not think that way. So you can't say they had an intent to have a school that was different than what he communicated to the graduates. So it's just kind of interesting. So the reason I show you that isn't to like push your buttons, it's to just show you how, society, there are segments of society that are against Christ followers living how they ought to live. It's interesting that his shirt is like sold out, but they've mentioned it a little bit because there is a group of people that are saying, yes, at his speech there were standing ovations, not by the parents, but by the students that were graduating. Kind of miss that. So again, be smart, know what's going on in your world, and as we talk about this subject from Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, we need to kind of like purge ourselves of our presuppositions and kind of hear it the way Paul intended to it, and I think we get to a completely different place. When the Christ followers started, I showed this a couple weeks ago when we talked about the way they were living, and it created a ruckus because people didn't like what they were saying. We see that again. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering grace or disgrace for the name of Jesus. They actually, in that case, they had been whipped and beaten, and they celebrated because they were standing up for what was right, pointing to Jesus, the way, and they suffered for that. That's the world we may find ourselves living in more and more. And that's the world that the majority of following Christ people over the centuries have lived in. We're living in a special bubble where it's not as bad. And then I have to ask myself, how am I leveraging this special time in history where I have the freedom to meet in a place like this, have the freedom to do this live video streaming, and I can, in a sense, get away with it. I don't face opposition. There may be a day where you can't do that, where we would not video stream what we said. There's been some times where I've talked about subjects that I've been wondered if somebody would show up and picket next Sunday. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't say those things. And I'm not angry about that. Why would I expect someone who hasn't said yes to Christ to act like a Christian? Correct. Give them some grace. Maybe you can point them to Christ. I do expect Christians to act like Christians. Mm-hmm. Christ follows to act like Christ follows, but not people that aren't Christians. So, let's get into it. Applying the way. And when we start to talk about this, we can go all the way back to Genesis 3. I think I got 1 through 20. I think in your notes it says 1 through 24. And, when we go to this, this isn't a fable. This isn't just a cute Bible story for kids to explain how things got going. Jesus himself refers to some of these outrageous stories, Noah, the ark, and all of these kinds of things. When he talks about them, he talks about them as reality. Mm-hmm. If that's true that he talks about them as reality and they're just make-believe stories, then everything else Jesus says starts to go out the window. You can pick and choose. He looks at all of this as historical, actual events. Yes, we don't have some of these same experiences, but just because you've had an experience that I haven't had doesn't mean I go, oh, that's not real in my life, so I don't believe you. That's not my automatic default position. Oh, really? That happened to you? How did that happen? Even some of these things we're talking about, things that God's done in your life that seem a little far-fetched, my background would be, ooh, something a little supernatural happening today. I believe it happened in the Bible. I don't know about that. But I've got to take it at face value and see what happens. So anyway, Jesus accepts these stories as reality. And I think we, if we follow him, ought to too. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yeah, don't know how that worked. Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden? And again, we know that Satan, the fallen angel, the right-hand man, or not man, right-hand angel of God, fell, rebelled against God, so he's involved in this. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And so we have this all unfolding like this. I love the fact that when you meet somebody that says, religion, faith, I like to call it faith. I have faith, I'm not religious. I have faith in God. Oh, you have so many rules. When it all started out, how many rules were there? One. Just imagine if you could just give your kids one rule and just say, that's it. You can do everything else you want. You'd be like, yes, we're going to make it. No, they didn't. And it's just crazy. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows when you eat it, your own eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. And isn't that true? We want to become like God. We want to control our own lives. And that looked pretty good to Eve at this point. Woman who saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some, ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. Shame on the husband. He didn't say anything. He should have said something. I it's like he's just standing there. Now, I know Eve was probably beautiful, you know, and he was mesmerized. Oh, Eve, you know. Sometimes I wonder, did this take like a week to happen? Did it happen the first day of creation? You know, how long did they function the way they were supposed to function before this had? We have no idea. But he goes along with it. He does not exercise any leadership. He abdicates it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And I think it's interesting, later on, God makes coverings for them out of animal skins, covers their shame. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God that forgives us and covers our shame? And in Old Testament, it took the blood sacrifice of an animal. New Testament, Jesus, one and done, did it for us. So there needs to be no more sacrifices, but his sacrifice covers our shame. Be encouraged. If you feel some shame from your past, maybe shame from last week, maybe shame this morning when you were coming to church, God forgives you because of Christ's work on the cross, his resurrection, and you don't have to feel shame. It doesn't have to be your way. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Obviously, they're not really hiding from him. They think they are, but I will say this to you. You're not hiding from him either. You online, you're not hiding from him either. We think we are, but we're not. God knows, and even though he knows, he still walks in the cool of the garden to meet with us. Are you answering him when he calls? But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" What should he say next? He should say, "Yes, I did." Not him, not you, not me. The man said, "The woman you put with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman says, "Yes, I did that." "No," she says, "the serpent deceived me, and I ate it." Blame shifting beginning from there on. We're still doing it today. My circumstances. I had that little line from that prayer a friend of mine sent me, and basically is saying your circumstances should not affect the richness of your soul, or it should cause us to lean in, whether there's good things or whether there's bad things, rather than blaming the circumstances or whatever is going on in our life. And I know when I say this and I point at you, at least three fingers are pointing back at me, because I do it too. I'd rather say somebody else. And then eventually, hopefully, I come to my senses and I go, I need to own that and ask for forgiveness for it. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and this woman, and between you and the offspring of hers, he will crush your head and you will strike his heel." That is pointing to Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15. That's what Jesus does. He crushes the work of Satan, the serpent. His heel is bruised, but he rises up. Amazing that all the way back thousands of years, we start to see Scripture turning towards a deliverer. To the woman he said, "I will make you your pains in childbearing very severe, and your painful labor will give birth to children. You will desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Just think, ladies who have had babies, no pain before then. I guess I can say this. I'm going to get in trouble for it. My oldest daughter, when Ira was born just maybe 6 weeks ago, she had an idea to have the baby at home. No pain medicine. I'm like, what? Are you crazy? When we were expecting twins, the doctor told Cindy and me that you don't get any extra points for the pain you feel. We still go by that philosophy today. But anyway, there was no pain. Also, there's this interesting phrase that says your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Some say that means the desire will be for you to be in charge and there'll be tension there, and yet he will exercise and rule over you. It doesn't sound like very good situation being set up. Opening video, who gets to drive the car? And obviously that was a little fun, but you've been in situations where you try to work it around so you get your own way, especially if you're married. At least you've done that once. To Adam he said, because you've listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toils you will eat food from it all the days of your life. I'll produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. But then Jesus, God, offers us the ultimate life hack. When you just need a better way. And that always shows up when you and I, out of relationship, align ourselves with what God would have us do. And when that's all set in motion, then the next few verses become palatable at beginning and then eventually tasty. I don't think you believe me, but I'm going to say it becomes palatable and then tasty. And I just want to save this for the future next week. Just know there's only a few verses addressing how wives should respond, and there's a lot more verses talking about men responding. So hear me out. Come to the two services. Listen to the two services before you make your conclusions. So here we have it. Wives, submit yourselves. We talked about submit and order, like a military field doing their marching. Someone's in charge. There's order there. It doesn't mean that there's better value, but somebody has to be the umpire. Somebody has to be the bandmaster leading people. So wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Own husbands is key, as you do to the Lord. Woo, that's huge. That's huge. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. We're going to unpack what that means. It's interesting. Throughout all of this, there's no place where it says, husband, demand from your spouse, your wife, that she submit to you. There's no conversations like that. It's supposed to be a natural response to your walk with Christ. Someone has to call the shots. We'll again, unpack what this means, what this doesn't mean. So applying the way. First of all, we're going to see to submit biblically to your husband, you must be in submission to the Lord. Oh, this is hard, hard stuff. But what enables you to even start walking down that road is your relationship, your obedience to Christ. Now remember, you don't have to actually remember this. You don't have to, I don't have to say this, but I will say it. Your husband isn't Jesus. So submitting to Jesus is a lot easier because he is perfect. His love for us is expressed perfectly. And so again, as we're looking at this, the question to us who aren't married or anything like that is, how are you submitting to the Lord? If you want to set yourself up to be married, if you want to just live a better way, this submission to the Lord is key. It's just not in marriage, it's everywhere. So if you say, all this doesn't apply to me, you can just land on submit to the Lord, and I think that can keep your mind occupied, your soul occupied for at least a couple hours, okay? This is big deal stuff. Again, we saw that in verse 22. To submit biblically to your husband, you must recognize his leadership. And this is hard because sometimes men are stinky leaders. They're not really good at it. This isn't in your notes. It's a fact that he calls us to submit this order. It's not a command. He's just saying this is the way it is, Jesus is saying. It's not a command. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Some husbands are weak, ineffective, and just plain lousy heads of their wives, but they are still responsible for it. Now hear me out. When Eve was made, it was not Adam and Eve made simultaneously at the same time. It could have been that way. God just made Adam and Eve and go do the thing. Adam first, rib from Adam to Eve. There's some order in there. As Christ leads the church, there's order there. As God the Father leads Christ, there's order there. And you can try to flatten this idea out. I love Eugene Peterson's message, but he talks about being supportive and encouraging your husband. That's nice, but that's still not as strong as submit. That sounds nice. I like that. I don't like to be a hard guy. I'd rather say, yeah, Cindy, you ought to just encourage me and support me and da-da-da-da-da. It's stronger than that. The husband's leadership means that there are gender-based roles in marriage. One guy I was listening to said that he would like to do a sermon like this by having two paintings up here of a unclothed man and woman and say, hey, they're different. They're absolutely different. They're made differently. They do different things, yet the two fit together. I've said about that, but you know what I'm saying. So there are different roles. It takes weird stuff for a man to have a baby. I don't know if they can do that, but I know they would like to do that kind of thing, like take some parts out, put some new parts in. That's all unnatural. There are roles. And we need to understand that. The same goes for you wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your life of your holy beauty. The idea is, living a submission life, they see God in you. We're going to see that doesn't mean you sin. That doesn't mean if there's any physical violence, I would say even emotional abuse, any of those kinds. We're not talking about those kinds of things. But the idea of following your husband's lead, submitting to him, letting him lead. And again, husbands, there's never a passage where it says the husband says, Susie Q, you have to follow my lead. It's not there. So that should not happen. You don't ask that. Now, when you're an immature, maybe not a lot of wisdom, fooling around, just barely out of your teens guy, you need a really good, submissive wife that doesn't shame you. This guy definitely needed that. He absolutely needed that. I can think of some times where, first time we had my parents over for dinner. Table not much bigger than this. The four of us sitting around in this little kitchen. And I was talking about something. I don't know if we had been married 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And all of a sudden I felt, and I've shared some of this, I felt Cindy like rubbing my leg. Ooh, she really likes me still. Kept talking. Also, I felt her like forcefully rubbing my leg. Then all of a sudden it turned into a kick. And then I looked at her and she looked at me and I realized I was talking about stuff that was making me look like an idiot. She didn't say it. She didn't go, Dave, you're acting like an idiot. She sent me the message. That was a submissive wife. And now I kind of get the message 35 plus years later. Even now, sometimes if you see us sitting together and I'm talking and she puts her hand on my leg, sometimes that's because she loves me. Sometimes she's saying, Dave, don't be talking about this. Go in a different direction. Sometimes when I'm praying, I can feel her leg rub against me. And I go, this isn't proper for prayer. She's saying, you're praying too long. Get it over with. See, I know. See, I'm learning. In another 35 years, I'll really have it down. Okay. Yes, I did do that when my parents were there, and that's when I got the bad look. Thank you for reminding me of how much of an idiot I was. So anyway, I mean, come on, this guy is so sweet. All right. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman was for man. You know, you can't totally get away from that. You got to come to terms with that. What does that mean? I think there's roles there. The Lord God said it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for her. Again, I've said this before. That word helper is the same helper that God is to us. So it's not a derogatory term. I just said about Cindy, she helps me. You heard that from Harrison. He got choked up. Without my wife, I wouldn't be able to do it. Amen. Now, some women will not be homemakers their whole time. Some of you would like to be. Cindy would prefer to be home, especially now. We're zipping up to Rochester every day to be with the grandkids. Not with me. Why is that? But anyway, that's what she'd like to be doing. We can't do that. That's just the way it is. Not begrudgingly, that's the way it is. That's the way a lot of us are. Most of us are. But even as a man, my greatest vocation isn't being a pastor, it's being a husband. It's being a father. It's being dad. I don't take that as a negative thing, but that is the greatest thing in my life. Greatest thing. So why wouldn't it be the flip side for a woman if they're blessed to have a husband and kids? And some women aren't. And some women, when they hear this, it hurts. So I get that. So, that's where some of that comes from. Not everybody. We had a dear friend who was a missionary, gave 35, 40 years in Kenya, came back, taught a little Bible college. One time we were talking about it, and I can't believe I had the guts of it. It was probably because I was instead of being 22 in that picture, now I was like 26, not just that much older. And I remember Harrison's only 28, that kid now I say that's a kid. But I asked her, so did you never really want to get married? She said, I absolutely wanted to get married. I thought a couple times I was going to get married, but it just didn't happen. And I get that. She lived a complete, full life following God, doing what she did. She was almost like a Protestant nun, if you would look at it that way. And God blessed her. She touched lives. She was a spiritual mom to countless boys like me, and had an effective life, but that wasn't God's plan for her. So, but at the same time, she wanted that, so I get that. So don't let a subject like this hurt you. Having trouble having children, I encourage you, come up and pray with a couple down front. I think it's going to be Bill and Lori Levine. Come up, talk with me, and we can connect you with somebody that's kind of gone through some of the same things. Not to say, yeah, I've been there, done that, no big deal, but to help you, to bear your burden with you. That's the kind of church we're trying to be. That's why we have small groups and get to know each other. The husband's leadership is for his wife's good. The problem is that a lot of situations you would say that's not the case. It was for his good. He was selfish. He wanted it for him. He wanted to sacrifice. I picking on Cindy a little bit. Sometimes I have to almost beg her to go out and spend money on herself. She gets a gift of money for her birthday, and it ends up getting spent on the kids, the grandkids, absorbed into the budget. She doesn't do it. So every once in a while I say, take $25, no, and go buy yourself something. No, a little more than that. In a marriage relationship, there is authority from Christ to the husband and from the husband to the wife. The authority of Christ is the authority of God. Men say, yes! I say, ooh, that's kind of scary. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. I think I'd rather be a wife sometimes than a guy. You have the power if you have the advantage. In some way, it's not to use it for yourself. It's to use it for the benefit of those in your life. That's for all of us as Christ followers, not just husbands and wives. To submit biblically to your husband, you must understand what biblical submission is and is not. Submission grows when a servant-leader's relationship can be trusted. The more I've walked with Christ, the more I've followed his lead, the easier it is to trust him with the next thing. I think the same is true in a husband relationship. When you realize that your husband or the person that has some kind of leadership in your life has your best interests at heart and you can trust them, they're not perfect, but you can trust them, it changes your idea of following their lead, submitting. Obeying, that sounds terrible. I mean, I don't even use the obeying thing when I do a wedding because, you know, I don't say, you know, that kind of thing. But it's here. You can't just take it away. Submission grows when a servant leader's relationship can be trusted, and God has given husbands a sacred duty to lead as the anointed leads. You hear that, men? Leading as Christ. Women who want a husband someday, find a guy who leads like Christ. And if he doesn't, run from him. No matter how nice he is, no matter how handsome he is, no matter how funny he is, all those kinds of things, no matter how much money he makes, run, 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 run. And it's the sacred duty, I love that, the sacred duty to lead as the anointed leads. It's a sacred duty, gentlemen. Spiritual leadership is not license for a husband to do what he wants to do, but the opportunity to do what he ought to do. So this submission thing comes with great reflection in the husband. Buying that new thing that you feel entitled to because you make most of the money, and there's something that your wife would like. Don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, occasionally you can get, but make sure you're being as nice to her as you're being to yourself. Never, ever play the game. You make the money and she doesn't. It's not that way totally these days, but just don't do that. That sickens me, quite frankly. And, you know, I can joke about this. I have no idea what's in our checking account because Cindy gets all the money. What's up with that? There are times where I've said to Cindy, it's not about my career only. What do you want to do? So it's not about she's the little pastor's wife and whatever I want to do. You know, God's called me and, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. What's good for her? What's good for the kids? Now what's good for the grandkids? What kind of record am I setting? So those of you who are going to marry married someday, look for that guy. It's worth it to wait until you're 35 to get married to wait for that guy. It's worth it to not get married if you can't find that guy. Don't do that to yourself. I have too many couples that just it's just hard. Just hard. I think God will honor you if you honor him with the spouse that he would have you to have. I just, you know. Submission is not the same thing as obedience. I said the word is, but it's not like you're... not like that. It's not like your husband wants you to go rob a bank this afternoon. Probably not the best day. You ought to do it when it's open, but that's just, you know, the banker trips, you know. If I wasn't a pastor, guess what I would be doing? No. Though obviously not going into sin areas. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them and to the way that honors the master. Mm-hmm. But don't be a jerk about it. Well, Jesus said you're going to push the person away from Jesus. Kick them under the table. Don't embarrass them in front of people. Try to coax them. I was reading on when I was studying this. Somebody was visiting a home and couldn't believe what a blockhead the husband was. He was like there. He was a guest speaker. And what was amazing is the wife was so kind and gentle that she made her husband look good and set him up for a good conversation with this guy and all of this kind of thing because she was lifting him up. She was submitting to him. But she wasn't saying, Henry, that's the worst question ever. You know, or what are you doing? You know, she just didn't do that. So honor them, yes, but understand that. Submission, since submission to Christ must be in everything, what is submission to your husband in everything? I mean, that goes like, what does that mean? Again, this idea of what is sin and what is not sin. So, just a couple little thoughts here. Submission requires a man to be mature enough and humble enough to be a servant leader. Allow your husband to grow. Cindy allowed me to grow up the first 15, 20, 35, 40 years of marriage. She knew I wanted to be a servant leader. I didn't necessarily know what that looked like, how to express that, and I'm still working on that. So give your man room to grow, especially if you've been a Christ follower for like ever and they're brand new. You can take the legs out from under that person so they feel like idiot, I've talked about this before, that they feel like that spiritual stuff is for my wife. I'm just not good at it, so I'm not even going to enter those waters. Sometimes that happens because of the way the wife has treated the husband. So, again, husbands got to be mature and humble, grow in that area. Submission is an intelligent, happy, wise support for that leadership. The wife doesn't check her brain at the door. If something doesn't make sense, you learn how to talk about it in a way that's kind, gentle, supportive, but you just don't go, oh, we're going to go do this, and you know it's going to end poorly. You just don't stand by your man and just keep your mouth shut. But you got to learn how to do that. And again, this is so why it's so important to choose a good husband, because when you get to that point, you want a guy that's actually going to want you to say those things. All of us guys, we've been driving along, right? And all of a sudden, our spouse, our wife, is sitting next to us and sees something, and she's like, you're like, and you're like, you know, what is it? Oh, I forgot. Did I leave the curling iron or whatever it is at home? Like, oh, or like, do you see that car? You know, it's like 10 miles away or something. And she'll say, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no. Tone it down a little, please. My heart is like in my throat now, but if you think I'm going to hit something with the car, you've got to tell me. Don't just go, oh, I thought you were going to hit that car, but, you know, because you were looking out the window, you know, at that other car because you thought it was cool. And no, please tell me. Submission is a responsiveness to his initiative taking, which is not a comprehensive control, but involves you in the planning of the family life. Again, there's delegation. There are a lot of things. Cindy can balance the checkbook. I cannot do that. I can trust her with that. And I don't have to think about that. I told you about, you know, rounding up or rounding down before I got married. But that's not a good thing. Still, I will say, never bounce a check doing that. Okay, submission means that in a draw, you say, I trust you to do what is best. Men, again, I'm trying not to make this about men, step it up. But men, be trustworthy. Do your best to be trustworthy. But women, if it's not going to cause the world to fall apart, trust him. And hopefully guys listening go, wow, she trusts me, so I better make good decisions. You know, the condition of our marriage, our family rises and falls on his leadership. And then lastly, and I've said this already, submission ultimately means submission to Jesus, so you never follow your husband into sin. It never includes his physical or emotional abuse. If you find yourself in that situation, ladies, get out. And we will help you. We'll help you the best we can. Never, never put yourself in physical or emotional abuse. There could be some hope in that, but get out. Call the church, call me, and we'll figure out how to help you, whatever that takes. So life hacks, when you need just a better way, when these principles are slowly, because they're slowly working them into your life, you'll find that it is a better way. So wives, and really all Christians to some degree, wives, Christ follows, will you invite your husband to lead? And you could put, will you invite Christ to lead? Will you invite him to lead? Some of you, this means starting really over. You've got 20 years under your belt, and this stuff isn't really a part of your life. But everything is redeemable. Every relationship has the possibility for healing and health. In normal circumstances, you know, not getting out of the abuse stuff and all that stuff, in normal circumstances. I could tell you stories. Some of us don't want to have healing. We like the fact that our husband's a little off a little bit and we're not going to invite him to lead, and we've got plenty of good reasons not to let him lead. But then that you're owning some of that too. And then just husbands, next week we'll get into this. Husbands, Christ followers, to delegate is not to abdicate. Some of us, like Adam, just check out and let everything happen, and we feel like we're delegating and we're abdicating. That would mean for Cindy and I'm very aware of saving money for retirement. Not very good at it, but I'm doing it. Giving Cindy the checkbook doesn't mean I say for the next until I breathe my last breath, honey, you're in charge of the finances. If we make it or make it not, it's on you. Delegation is not abdication. It's involvement. It's an engagement. So be engaged. Sorry to go long today. Let's pray, and then we'll let you on your way. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. Sometimes it's really hard. And wherever each one of us is at, I ask that you would help us to take just the next step in the way you'd have us to be. The way you'd have us to live. Not just so that we enjoy life better, but so that we're pleasing our Heavenly Father. Lord, if there's anyone here and the next step is for them to say yes to Christ, I'd ask that they would be able to put that together, talk to someone, and we can walk them through what it means to know Jesus as their personal Savior. We thank you for the gift of being a part of that process. That's the kind of church we want to be. So we just thank you for today. Pray that we enjoy this beautiful day. Pray for those that are taking the baptism class, the kids going up to have fun up at Teganic Falls. And I pray that you'd bring us back safely. Thank you for a great Awana season. Thank you for Megan and Eric and all the work they do and the whole staff there. But again, we want to be Christ followers that honor you in all of our relationships. That's the greatest life hack. In Jesus' name. Now, one of the ways that we help you take your next step, it's not the ultimate way, there's not a perfect way, but trying to do that is through our growth process at Seneca Community Church. You can see it up on the screen. The first class is follow. It's 6 sessions designed to be in a group or one-on-one, however you want to do that. If you have want information about that, you can stop off at guest services, use your Connect card. You also have share, which we've got that, and then serve. We're working on putting that together, the It's together, but it just needs to be finalized. And then we'll also have the mentoring. So this is just one way. And just recently, a very, very fortunate guy got to meet with me, or I got to meet with him. It was my privilege to meet with Jeff. We finished all six chapters, and it was just, Jeff, I see you. It was just a delight to be with you and to have you start to discover some of these biblical truths and take the next steps in your faith. This is open to all of us. If you want to ever be a part of it and train somebody or walk through this with somebody, speak to guest services, and we'll tell you how the next steps are on that. So thank you. Hon?
I'm getting closer and closer and closer. Well, we're glad that you've been here today to share this experience with us. We hope that you've been encouraged, maybe challenged, to put some life hacks into practice this week. So as you go your way, know that we appreciate all that you do as you support and give to the church. And as you exit today, we ask that you be invited to join the party and think about VBS and how you might be included in a part of that. So thank you for that. We have Bill and Lori Levine here. If you'd like to talk with them, pray with them, they're here to do that and to support you. So thank you. Have a great day.